bring from but a spark of my splendor. The illumination of the planets and stars in the sky is but a partial manifestation of the Lord's effulgence. There are many wonderful qualities of different living entities, but whatever extraordinary things exist are but part of the Lord's tejas, his illumination or brilliance. The deep waves of the seas and oceans and the many other wonders within the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all become insignificant when the Lord in his special feature incarnates within this material world. Everything in comparison to his personal, all-defeating, transcendental qualities. Shatavaduta chaladakparapatan grahas chatadrishti vimushtarojisha ambodayakshva sahata vichukshubur nirada bhita digibha vichukrushu. The hair on Nisingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. It's a great fortune to be here today in the assembly of all the Vaishnavas. You see so many of my seniors and teachers and friends. So with your permission and blessings, we have here also a lot of students of the Mayapur Institute. Who is a student of the Mayapur Institute? Am I? Raise your hand. Okay. Who is a student of Mayapur Academy? Okay, welcome. We also welcome our Russian community who has joined us here. Let's hear it for the Russian community. Arrigo. So, in the last few days, we heard Krishna Lila from various exalted Vaishnavas. We had the Katyayani Vrata, we had Krishna's Damodar Lila, different Lilas in Kartik. So we went from Madhurya Ras and Vatsalya Ras, and now we are here with Lord Nisingadev, and he just killed Hiranyakashipu. When was it? When did he get killed? Yesterday. Yesterday, yeah, right. It just happened. And Ekalavya Prabhu gave us a very graphic demonstration. So, the rasa that we're experiencing here in this pastime is mostly bravery, anger, and fear. And Hiranyakashipu, he experienced ghastliness and devastation. Now these are secondary rasas, which are supporting the primary rasas, and they're only manifesting temporarily. Now we may wonder, how can a demon like Hiranyakashipu manifest rasa? But we know that he's none other than Jayan Vijay, who appeared to give pleasure to the Lord in the form of fighting. When an exalted personality wants to fight, he cannot fight anybody. He needs a good opponent. Like the king, when he wants to fight, he chooses either one of his bodyguards or one of his army commanders-in-chief, because nobody is a match for the king. So when Krishna wants to fight, he needs somebody who can be a good match for him. And he is manifesting this chivalrous nature and engaging in sporting activities, in fighting and killing the demons. Now, not all the demons are Krishna's eternal associates. They come from all various different backgrounds. But in this case, we know the history because Srimad Bhagavatam has given us that historic record. So, all the rasas originate in Krishna. Rasovai Saha. Taittiriya Upanishad says that all the rasas, all the flavors, all the experience is originating in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one who experiences such rasa is experiencing true bliss. If you want to experience bliss, you have to experience rasa in its pure form, in its pure nature, which is available when we have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know there is Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya Ras, and then the secondary rasas, as it has been explained to us by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now in this world, we also see a perverted reflection of these different rasas. And the living entities are trying to enjoy these perverted, distorted reflections of these rasas. Just recently, I was faced with a situation which made me wonder, because we hear here the Lord wants to fight, and some of the devotees are very much enthused by that, and they think like, yes, yes, the Lord wants to fight. And some think, oh no, I don't want to fight, you know. I'm not in the mood of fighting. I'm not that type, right? But how can you say that all the rasas exist in the Lord and we are just experiencing some minute reflection of that in our own lives? Some may say, I like more romance, or I might like more comedy, or I might like more sports. But actually, if you analyze it, there is fighting in all of these different activities. I was just recently in a flight, and while coming back from the back of the plane through the alley, I was seeing all the screens are on, and everyone is watching the one-eyed monster, the one-eyed demon, very attentively. And in most of the screens, there was action movies, and people were kicking and shouting and hitting each other. And in others, there was romance, and people were fighting with attitude. And in others, there was comedy, and people were fighting with words. And in others, there was sports or news, and people were fighting in other ways. So everyone is fighting in some way in this world, because nothing happens in this world without a little endeavor. And if you want to experience rasa, relationship, you have to apply yourself with some energy. And that means there is some fighting, some struggle that has to take place. So, we may wonder, how did Hiranyakashipu end up in this situation, getting a heart surgery, open heart surgery, by Lord Nisingadev? How did that happen? It happened because he was mistreating the devotees. And as Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 4th chapter, that by mistreating the devotees, all results of tapasya are diminished. Not only that, but also long life, beauty, wealth, and all the good qualities will be diminished by mistreating devotees. So if you want to have a short and miserable life, this is the way how to do it. Attack devotees, persecute, mistreat devotees, bully devotees, and you can be sure that your lifespan will reduce drastically. So Hiranyakashipu, because of feeling insecure of his little five-year-old boy who was challenging, threatening his authority by not obeying his command and attacking him, he suffered the fate of being killed personally by the Supreme Lord, Narasimhadev. Now in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada's quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter, text 41, Yadat Vibhuti Mat Sattvam, and he states that all these beautiful, glorious, mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. In the purport to that verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. And in this purport, today's purport, he writes that these manifestations are unparalleled and they're surpassing all natural phenomena by far. Now we hear here how the Lord, now you have to imagine, Hiranyakashipu just got killed yesterday, just a moment ago. And Narasimhadev is angry, he's ferocious, he's at the height of his anger. Because it's not because Hiranyakashipu is killed that the anger is over. When you are successful at accomplishing something, it's not that your mood, your emotion immediately decreases, but it's actually carrying on. So he's still very much angry. And what is he doing? He's shaking his mane. Now he has got long whitish hair. And he's shaking his mane in such a way that the clouds get knocked off the sky. Can you imagine that? Do we have anybody here who can demonstrate that? Anybody with a lot of hair? Huh? Okay, we can. His eyes were representing the sun and the fire, and they were really burning. Burning so intensely that nobody wanted to look into his eyes. Like sometimes we have that saying in English, staring somebody down. Have you ever tried that? You look somebody in the eye till they look away? Huh? Have you ever tried it? You just look at somebody till, okay, whoever looks first away, you know, loses, right? But people didn't even want to look at his eyes because it was so glaring. It was so powerful. And also, his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. The seas and oceans got agitated. There were huge waves, tidal waves, tsunamis, just because of the breathing of the Lord. We cannot even imagine the potency of the Lord's breathing. And his roaring caused all the elephants of the world to cry in fear. Somebody would like to show us the roaring of Lord Narasimhadev? It's a little early for that, right? So, but we can just imagine. Now these are the elephants, the Acharyas explain that these are not ordinary elephants, but these are the Dikpalas, these are the garters of the 10 directions. They're screaming in fear. And you know what happens when the Dikpalas start getting agitated? Earthquakes happen when they get scared and they start becoming inattentive in their duties because they have to guard the 10 directions to keep peace and balance in the universal structure. So Srila Prabhupada explains that all these wondrous manifestations that we see in this world are just a spark. They're just a little speck, a little fragment of the splendor, of the wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the elephants are crying in fear. We heard a lot about fear in the last few verses, right? Different people are afraid. Who was afraid? The demigods were afraid because Hiranyakashipu got away. The demons were afraid because Lord Narasimhadev was attacking them and killing them wholesale. Everybody was afraid. So we may ask ourselves, okay, am I afraid? Does this ever happen to me? just as a little mind exercise, ask yourself, what are your top three fears right now? Your top three fears. Can you imagine something that you're afraid of? You look pretty peaceful. Okay, top fear, number one. No food. Have you ever been afraid of that, that there won't be any food today? Yes, especially as brahmacharis. It's one of the regular type of fears, right? What other fears are there? Yes. Offending Vaishnavas. Yes, what else? Other type of fears. No water. Okay, what else? Come on, work with me, people. Driving in a car to Kolkata, yes. That's a good one. We'll get back to that one. It's definitely a fear. Yes, you're risking life and all you know. Back there. Not just no rupees in the ATM. There may be no more money. I know all of you are, you know, Saragrahi Vaishnavas, you're all Akinchana. You know, there is not much possessions. But some were in a bit of anxiety in the last few days, as you may have noticed, you know. Either because of too much money or of not any money. Huh? Or the wrong kind of money. So there's so many fears in this world. Of course, some of them are healthy fears, like we should be afraid of offending Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada said that the Western disease is that you're not afraid of Maya. And that's not good. Because we should be afraid of Maya. We should be afraid of offending Vaishnavas. So there is healthy fear and there is unhealthy fear. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, Kavi Yogendra is speaking to Maharaj Nimi in the second chapter, in text 37 and onward, Bhayam Dvitiya Binivesatak Syat. In his very beautiful verse, and he's saying, I'm just going to read it out so I get it word for word. If you want to know, if you wonder where fear is coming from, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience actual fearlessness. So if we want to experience actual fearlessness, we have to control the mind. How can we control the mind? Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena chadamena cha tyagena satasauchabhyam yamena niyamena va. By voluntarily detaching ourselves from the object of sense gratification and in a mood of firm friendship for the spiritual master, serving him, serving his mission, making friendship with the devotees, that will allow us to control the mind. But still the mind is restless and uncontrolled. It still happens sometimes, right? Brahmacharis, is the mind ever wandering? Is it possible? It's possible. But there are other processes how to control the mind. Naishamati stavadurukra mangrims prishartya nartava pogamoyarartha mahiyasampada jajopishekam nishkinchananam chanivirta yadvat. That when you are bathing, when you're smearing the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee on yourself, on your head, then what happens is you can actually achieve not just control of the mind and senses, but you can actually achieve Krishna consciousness, which ordinarily is not even achieved by submerging yourself in water to the neck in the Himalayas or sitting under the blazing sun, surrounded by fire, or being surrounded by electrosmog, or any other types of difficulties that we might experience in this world. They're overcome if we get the mercy, the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Now, how to get the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas? It means we have to seek out pure devotees, and by humbly serving them, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti tegyanam gyaninas tatvadarshinaha, we can actually get their blessings, and in this way control our mind and senses and overcome fear. Sridhar Swami says in his commentary to text 35, even if running with both eyes closed, the devotee on this path of Bhagavad Dharma will not stumble. Now you may wonder, I don't run with my both eyes closed. But in this context, blindness or having both eyes closed means being ignorant of the Vedas. Even if you're ignorant of the Vedas, if you are on this path of Bhagavad Dharma, you will not stumble. So for us, this path of Bhagavad Dharma means taking shelter of Lord Nrisingadev. Now I know some people may think, why are we talking so much about Nrisingadev? Why don't we just talk about Radha Krishna's pastimes? As we heard recently, that there is no duality, there is no incongruity. Nanda Baba is worshipping Nrisingadev. In Nandagaon. This is his worshipful deity. And he's praying to him for protection, for Krishna. We also hear from Vaishnava Acharyas that Advaita Acharya was worshipping his Shalagram Shila. It was a Nrsingadev Shila that he was worshipping and praying for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So the devotees are always praying to Lord Nrsingadev to protect them from illusion, from Maya. Because we're in this material world and it's a dangerous place. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. You don't even have to go on the highway to Kolkata. You can just be anywhere. And anything can happen. Om kshram mugram gram mahavishnum jalantam sarvato mukam narasingham bishanam badram mrityom mrityom namamyaham. There's a beautiful prayer which says, may my head be protected by the moon-colored one who is the greatest among humans, my obeisances unto the ferocious and powerful, the great Vishnu, the fiery one whose faces are on all sides, the fearful one, Nrsingha, who causes the death of even death personified, or who can overcome death. Mrityo mrityur namamyaham. Now everybody is afraid of death. That's the greatest fear that everybody has in this world. What if I die? Everything's over. Everything that I worked and strived and struggled for, everything that I have accomplished will just in one moment be obliterated. That is the greatest fear. Therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tong sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma shuchaha. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. I'll preserve what you have. I'll carry what you lack. Krishna has given this assurance to the devotees. So the devotees are not fearful because they know that Lord Nrisingadev will protect them. So here in this verse, we hear about the Lord's wonderful attributes. And he's incarnating in this feature of Nrisingadev. And he's manifesting his personal, all-defeating, transcendental qualities. This tejas, this potency is quite immense. It's quite tremendous. Now, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he also manifested his potency, his tejas, in conquering Prakashananda Saraswati. By his humility, by sitting down in the foot wash place, he conquered his heart by his humility. He also conquered Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya by his patience, by hearing from him for 7 days. He conquered Jaga and Madai through the tolerance and forbearance of Lord Nityananda. So, in this age of Kali, there is no killing of demons before Kalki avatar. just in case you already got into the mood of Nrsingadev and you thought, yeah, 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 okay, bring it on, let's do this. I remember in the early days in Germany, they had two Sankirtan teams. One was called the Nrsinga Bhaktas, and one was called the Govinda Bhaktas. And as you can imagine, the Govinda Bhaktas were more like the sweet and mellow and, you know, kind ones. There was a little more bhajan and a little more prasadam. And the others were more in the rah-rah-rah mood. And they would pick fights almost every day, and they usually had to appear in court every other week or so. In those days also, they were storing weapons in the Schloss, and after the raid, we successfully damaged our reputation for a few decades in Germany, and it took a long time to bring things back to neutral gear. So this is not recommended. So the real fight is Sankirtan Yajna. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. To take part in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the real fight. Not hitting people over the head with sticks or pipes or with books or with shlokas. This is not the real fight. Why not? Because it's counterproductive. Because people, and devotees are also people, they do not appreciate if they're hit over the head with something. Do you like being hit over the head with something? Anybody here likes being hit over the head? No? Okay. Just checking. You're still sane, you know? I mean, everybody's a little crazy in this world, but you're still sane as far as, you know, regular description goes. So we should not do to others what we don't like people doing unto ourselves. So, because people pick up on the mood, they pick up on the attitude. Even if what we say is right, but if the way how we say it is wrong, people, it will rub them the wrong way. Like you may say, but I'm caressing the cat. But if you're doing it in the wrong direction, will the cat like it? No, will not like it. Huh? So in the same way, we may give attention to people, but if it's not in a pleasing, if it's not in a merciful, in a compassionate, in a magnanimous way, it will rub them the wrong way. Have you ever been rubbed the wrong way? Has it ever happened to you? So, preaching is a sensitive art, and it means we have to respect every individual and give them Krishna consciousness in a way that they can actually appreciate it. Transcendence is present in acts of sacrifice. What can I do to become fearless, to become a Sukhi Nara, a happy human? Let us sincerely pray to Lord Nrsingadev that he will guide us to take up this mission of Srila Prabhupada in the Acharyas. There is no stereotype and no sectarianism in this mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminds us of this mission by saying, Jiva Doya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar. Jiva Doya means compassion for all living entities. Krishna Nam, chanting Krishna's name. This is Sarva Dharma Sar. Sarva means all dharma, religious principles, and sar is the essence. So this is the essence of all religious principles. Showing compassion to the living entities and chanting Krishna's name. Since we started early, we have time to read Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wonderful poem from Navadvip Bhava Taranga. Within my sinful heart, the six enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. At the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Nrsinga for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. Are you all perfectly safe and free from all difficulties? No, many are shaking their heads. Not perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. Thank you for your honesty. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy? Even though Lord Nisinga is terrifying toward the sinful souls, he offers great auspiciousness unto the devotees of Lord Krishna, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. Excuse me. When will he be pleased to speak words of compassion unto me, a worthless fool, and thereby making me fearless? He will say, this is Lord Nisingadev speaking, dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gauranga Dham. May you nicely worship the divine couple, and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, just perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. Now Bhaktivinoda is again carrying on. Saying this, will that Lord delightfully place his own divine lotus feet upon my head? I will experience sublime love for the divine couple Radha Krishna and undergo the ecstatic transformations called sattvika. Falling on the ground, I will roll about at the door of Sri Nrisingadev's temple. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's burden is that he brought this love of Godhead, this Krishna prema. And he brought so much of it that he said he needs help in distributing it. Therefore, he's asking every man, woman, and child to please help him in this endeavor to distribute this mercy of Krishna prema to one and all. That is his burden. And that is the burden of every single member of the parampara. And therefore, they're begging, they're pleading, they're bargaining with us and saying, please help us to distribute this mercy, this message to others. In the Adi Lila, third chapter, text number 40, it is explained that we should broadcast, we should widely distribute this holy name of Krishna to all living entities. It is not something just for internal consumption. If you want to experience the mood of Audarya, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this mood of magnanimity and mercifulness, then please try to share the holy name. We have so many wonderful opportunities by performing Harinam Sankirtan, by engaging in preaching outreach activities, by distributing books, by doing deity worship, by giving seminars and classes. We can share the mercy of the Lord with so many living entities. A date palm tree takes 10 years to grow and give fruits. And sometimes they're in the desert, in very hostile situations. I saw date trees right next to the Dead Sea. Engedi is Dead Sea. It's all salt. It's totally wasteland. But just a few meters away from it, they have huge orchards with palm trees who give very sweet dates. How is this possible? Because of irrigation systems. A date tree takes 1 ton of water a day. That's a cubic meter of water. A ton is a lot of water to give those dates. So we may be in hostile territory wherever we may be living. I know many of you are living in outposts in different environments that are not as fertile as Mayapur Dham, and you may feel like that date palm tree, you know, which is developing some defense mechanisms. But if we water our plant, our creeper of bhakti, with daily hearing and chanting of Krishna's holy name and Bhagavad Katha, then these wonderful offerings can be made to Krishna. We should hear from the right source for a very long time. A very long time. Satatam kirtayanto mam. It says, every day and continuously. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam srimadartadam bhuvigrinantiye bhuridhajana. Mahaprabhu is saying to King Prataparudra after he recited Gopi Gita to him, Bhuridhajana, Bhuridhajana, you're the most magnanimous because you have given me this nectar of Krishna Katha. This is the real friendship. This is the real nourishment. Please give me more. Give me more of this nectar, of this nourishment. So when we meet another Vaishnav, we should not ask them, hey, how much rupees for the dollar, you know? Or is there any money in the ATM? Or what's there for breakfast? But we should ask, okay, what's the nectar? What's the Krishna Katha? Give me some nectar, Prabhu. I need some nectar here. Because I'm feeling a little dry. The Prabhupada Marathon is starting in a few days. In some places it has already started. So I'm taking the liberty to tell a few stories which are related to the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadeva and to Sankirtan. When I just recently visited Vladivostok in the far east of Russia, I met the devotee who built the first temple in Russia. He built it from scratch, from the ground up. He's a builder. And it's a beautiful temple. You can look it up online. It's the first ever proper ISKCON temple in Russia, built by devotees. And he was telling me how he was distributing books in Siberia. And one time they went to a far up place, very close to the Arctic region. And when they reached there, late at night, the hotel they wanted to check in said, no, we don't have any rooms for you. And so it was late. They said, can we leave the books here? The lady said, yeah, okay. But then they left and they stayed somewhere else. And the next day they came back and the lady said, you have to stay with us. You have to stay here. I'm going to give you a free room. And they said, no, 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 we already found a room. We just came to pick up our books. I need to buy books from you. They said, why this change all of a sudden? Yesterday there was no room. Today there's a free room. You know, what happened? Why this change of mind? And she said that last night I had this dream that there was this big lion who was roaring. And he said, why you didn't give room to my devotees? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to finish you. So she was very frightened. And so anyway, she bought some books. Now, this is not some sentimental Russian, you know. This is like a builder. He builds buildings. He's got two kids. He's a sane, you know, stable person. Another time, he was distributing books in a train station, and it was late at night, and there's no more people around. And then a gang of hooligans, a gang of gundas, dacoits came, and they attacked him. There was about 20 of them. And they surrounded him, and they started pulling at his books and taking his things. And then he was very scared, so in his mind, in his heart, he just started chanting. And then one of these gangsters came up to him and punched him in the face. And he thought, they're going to kill me. So he just turned his other side and he said, you'll just beat me here. Why don't you beat me also here on this side? And then they all like became frightened and they just dropped everything and ran away. No? Because he followed, you know, Jesus said, when somebody hits you, you should give the other cheek also, right? Yeah, but he got it from Jesus. So, so many times we were in Sankirtan vans and it was very dangerous situations. You're on the highway going at 85 miles an hour, you know, loaded up to the rim. There's devotees, there's Pisharam, you're going out, you're on marathon mood, and all of a sudden, pow, and a tire blows out. And the van starts spinning in the middle of the highway, and there's cars going by past you at 80 miles an hour, and nothing hits you. And everybody just somehow miraculously survives. In the early 80s when I joined, we had some of these vans, it was either Citroën or Peugeot, they had these sliding doors on the side. Either it was Guru Shakti or somebody. And there was ice, and the van scaled against the what do you call it in the middle?
Divider.
The divider, yes, against the divider. Smashed against the divider, and the devotee didn't wear a seatbelt, was his fault, but it was also his luck. He got smashed against the driver's door, and he flew out of the vehicle. The door flew off. He flew out of the vehicle onto the other lane while there is ongoing traffic on the highway, and he landed on the door and slided on the door over the highway and walked off on the other side. Now, don't try this at home, okay? It's never been attempted to duplicate, okay? We have been driving in the Alps with vans that were way overloaded, slittering and sliding almost off the roads, off the mountain, and Krishna just picked up the van and put it back in its proper place, and you continue driving. So, Lord Nisingadeva ki. It is simply by the mercy of Lord Nisingadeva that we are here, that we're breathing, that we're smiling, that we're existing. Because as Prabhu was mentioning, we have taken this road from Kolkata to Mayapur so many times. So many times. And it is a dangerous. One time we're driving, I remember going down to our farm in Ticino in the south. Rohini Sudha Prabhu was driving. And we were young bhaktas, you know, we eat a lot of prasadam and then you pass out and just sleep in the van. You know, as a bhakta, you're happily oblivious. Now I could never sleep in a driving vehicle. Never. But then, you know, we had full faith. You know, we're on a mission from God and our leader is driving us. So everything is perfect, right? So one time I was sleeping and I just wanted to roll over. So I just pulled my head up and I saw a big concrete mixer. You know, these big, huge machines with these drums on the back driving right full speed at us. And just in this moment, he overtook and went in and it just passed us. And I just put my head back down and went back to sleep. Everything's okay, you know. We're protected and, you know, he knows. He's doing the right thing. So I just have to chill out. Now, many times we went to places we're not supposed to be in because it's like the coward boys who wanted to go to the Talavan forest. Because there was fruits which were too sweet to resist, but it was too dangerous to dare to go there. But the Sankirtan devotees, following in the spirit, in the mood of the cowboys, could not refuse. So they went to all these places, to these airports, to these parking lots, to these forbidden areas, and were playing hide and seek with the security guards, running away with stacks of books around cars, trying to hide from them and duck. And sometimes you get caught, but that's all part of the lila. It's all part of the ras. But the point I'm trying to make is that Lord Nisingadeva always protects his devotees, but that protection may come in different ways, in different forms. Sometimes he also took devotees back, and he just took them from this world, seemingly prematurely. And devotees were puzzled. They were left crying. How did that happen? One Sankirtan devotee from Moscow, Radhika Raman, young boy, just ate the other day prasadam with him at Anakudundubi Prabhu's house, and the next day he was in Vrindavan, in Jamuna, got bit by a snake in the lip and just died instantaneously, in a moment. Young boy, his whole life ahead of him. So we cannot take things for granted and think, I'll be here forever. You know, some of us are getting older. Of course, some of us are getting younger, but some of us are getting older. So, we should not take any moment for granted, but really take shelter of this process. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinghaya Namaste Jastejase Avir Bhava Vajranaka Vajranstra Karmashayang Randaya Randaya Tamot Graza Graza Om Swaha Abayam Abayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Kshram. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nisingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So Prahlad Maharaj is praying this wonderful prayer. It is in the 5th canto, 18th chapter, text number 8. And Hiranyakashipu, who is the personification of material desires, was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev. So we offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev to please protect us from these demoniac desires. And it happens, the protection happens, the more we develop our positive attraction to Krishna through the process of chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And by engaging in devotional service in the association of Vaishnavas and developing this favorable mood, this favorable attitude, and then Krishna will reveal the rasa to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be impatient. Don't think, oh, you know, what I'm going to be in the spiritual world. What is my rasa? You heard so much about different rasas, right? Sometimes devotees get puzzled. They wonder, what is my rasa? There's all these different rasas. I know what is my rasa. I'm a rascal. That is my rasa. And because I'm a rascal, I have to take shelter of the process. And whatever Krishna reveals, whatever he gives, that is his prerogative. So, dasya ras, or servitorship, is actually present in all the rasas. It's there everywhere. So, you're not going wrong. You're not going anywhere in the wrong direction by taking up this rasa. As we mentioned earlier, the Prabhupada Marathon is just a few days ahead, and this is the 50th anniversary, so if you haven't yet done it, please head over to the BBT. It's right back there. You can just look out the window. You see the BBT. Pick up your 50 books and just carry two or three books in your pocket when you walk around campus and you see people. You ever see people here? Do you see people around? Are there people around in India? Yes. So what do? You avoid them, right? You look the other way. You say, get out of my life. I don't want to see you. No. You look at them and you smile and you say, Hare Krishna. And whoever smiles back at you, you give him a book. Can you do that? Can you do that? It doesn't sound very convincing. Now come on, hey. You know, this is like the army, you know. Get books. If you don't have books, how are you going to give people the books? It's okay, you have the bhav, you have the ras, you have the nectar in your heart. But, you know, sometimes you have to also share it. You have to also put it out there. Because that's Prabhupada's mood. That's Prahlad Maharaj's mood. They were not just saying, hey, I'm doing fine. Everyone else, you know. Screw you. No. They were saying, I want to help. I want to help others. Now, I know you have many obligations and duties, but this is something that's doable. Everybody can get at least 50 small books. Carry them around and talk to people, and you'll be surprised. They actually come here to meet devotees. They actually come here to meet you. Are you aware of that? That people come here to meet you? But you say, no, I don't want, you know, I want to meet people on the internet, but I don't want to meet people, like real people, you know. I don't want to meet real people, because that's scary, you know, it's unhygienic. But I, you know, I like this, you know, like this imagined. It's called Vimukta Maninas. You think you're liberated, but it's all in your head. Sometimes we ask, where is Prabhu? You know, as he's mostly on the internet and sometimes in his head also. But otherwise, you don't see much action. So, we should actually apply ourselves to this process. And then we can experience this protection. We can experience this nourishment, this inspiration that comes from Lord Nrisimhadev and from his devotees. It is quite possible. So, these are some thoughts on the topic. We have 5 minutes, so I'd like to take three reflections. Reflection is something that you heard that's stuck in your mind that you take away from here. Yes, Prabhu.
Just share
a story. No, just a reflection. I'm not opening for stories. You can tell me stories afterwards. If you have a reflection, There was a microphone somewhere. It's gone now. Reflection?
Yeah, I like the word Sukhinara.
Sukhinara. Yes, Sukhinara means a happy human being.
So, Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. So that's part of Prabhupada's instruction. Be a Sukhinara.
Yes, become a Sukhinara. Thank you. Reflection? Yes.
He was a householder.
Yes.
We also hear from Chaitanya Bhagavan that Srivas Thakur, also a householder, worshipped
Nrisinga Shaligram Srila, both Advaita Acharya.
Thank you for your reflection. A rhetorical question. I was asking for reflections. We have to become a little bit self-controlled here. When the speaker asks for reflections, you should give a reflection. When I'm asking for questions, you can give a question. Are there any other reflections? Thank you. Thank you for your reflection. Yes, Prabhu. I still love you, Chandra, okay? We're cool, all right? Yes. Thank you. Yes, it's important to distinguish between healthy and unhealthy fear. Healthy fear is what brings me closer to Krishna. Unhealthy fear is what separates me, what takes me away from Krishna. That's unhealthy fear. And that comes because, as it is stated in the 11th canto, because we identify with matter, we have a material consciousness. Okay, we have time for one question. All right, okay, reflection, bonus round. Haribo. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much, Ogoi Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.